Modern Mystics with your co-hosts, Dawn Fleming and Linda Robach, who are here to offer you a deeper perspective of what is really going on and how you can disconnect from the chaos and plug into a higher consciousness.
Welcome to Two Modern Mystics. I am Dawn Fleming, and we have a topic today that is near and dear to our hearts, and that is how Reiki makes a difference. Linda and I, we've been practicing Reiki since the early 1990s, and we have a lot to share. For a little while, Linda and I taught all levels of Yasui and Karuna Reiki together, and we also led Reiki-related retreats. And it was just so much fun teaching as a team. Together, we both have so many stories to share of our individual experiences with Reiki, and that way we can show our students the potential that is there when we are working with Reiki. But before I get further on to the subject, I want to introduce my co-host, Linda Robach. Linda is my good friend. She's an incredible light and mystic healer. She is a Yasui and Karuna Reiki master and has gone on to develop AAA Healing, which is alchemical attunements and activations that she offers in workshops and retreat settings. Linda is an amazing spiritual healer. She helps many people to achieve their healing goals. She truly is a mystic that I am honored to know. Hello, Linda.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Dawn, so much for that introduction. You are my wonderful friend and certainly fellow light traveler. So it's always a joy to co-host this show with you. And because of our relationship over the years, our shared passion and our service, I want to take a moment to let our listeners know a little bit about what you are bringing to the world. And I know that since our early days with Reiki, and that was sort of our roots of how we began to grow, our personal expansion has gone way beyond what I could have even imagined. So I really hope our listeners will check out your website, and we can give the address at the end of the show, so that they can get a sense of your services, all of the writings and teachings you offer. And so the one I'd like to highlight today, for those of you who are listening that teach Reiki, check out Dawn's Reiki manuals. And she also has other information that will help you build your practices and also help you with your teaching. So they're just invaluable, and I really highly recommend it. So, Dawn, I honor the light you shine in our world.
Thank you, Linda.
And so let's go back now to today's topic. It is about how Reiki makes a difference. And I'll add how Reiki makes a difference in all areas of life. So most of our listeners probably know what Reiki is, but just in case, here's a working definition. Reiki is a Japanese technique that reduces stress, promotes relaxation, and opens up possibilities for healing, manifestation, and peace. And it's passed on from Reiki master to student through an attunement process that I can best describe as a miracle. So once you are attuned and begin practicing Reiki, prepare to be awed by the spiritual awareness and the creative opportunities and positive changes that begin to happen in your life, in your activities, in your relationship. And Reiki energy is powerful. So as I began to think about the show, two words came up for me: power and creativity. So there are many ways that Reiki can be used to benefit humanity as an individual and as a collective. So to give an example of Reiki power, what's been coming to me, Dawn, Do you remember when we were taking a Japanese Reiki training at a large hotel in Dallas with William Rand and Arjava Petters?
Yes, I remember that. That was amazing.
It was. As what I'm recalling is there were 100 Reiki masters attending. And on the next to the last day of the training, 50 Reiki tables were set up. We were kind of crunched in this big area, but 50 Reiki tables were set up, and we worked in pairs. And as we began our session simultaneously by setting our intentions, scanning, and letting the Reiki flow, well, flow it did. Because after a few minutes, when we were all in an entirely elevated state of consciousness, the fire alarm went off. I remember being so startled, and in a spacey space, we then realized, hey, we got to evacuate the building. So we all kind of scrambled out, and we were standing around for about 45 minutes. And I think the fire department came, well, the fire department did come, and they searched the premises while we were waiting, and they could not find anything. And they couldn't. So after a long amount of time, we were allowed to come back into the building, and we returned to our Reiki sessions and finished the day. But I remember then, I think that was the next to last day. And then on the last day of the training, when we were processing what had been happening, everyone started saying, we know what happened. There was no fire. It was the Reiki fire, the Reiki energy that really set off the fire alarm. And we all knew that felt right. And it is powerful energy, but can you imagine? So there's so many wonderful things that are happening when we use Reiki. And Dawn, I know that you can share, and I'd love for you to share now, about how this Reiki energy can make a difference in the medical world. So would you do that?
Yes, thank you, Linda. I love talking about Reiki in hospital settings, and it seems that more and more hospitals are encouraging Reiki to be performed in the hospital. So that's very encouraging. In the late 1990s, one of our students, Tina, was fortunate to be allowed to do Reiki on her best friend in surgery. Her friend was having heart surgery. So after getting permission from the doctor, Tina was there sending Reiki to her friend and to the surgeon and to everyone in the room. The surgery was 6 hours, and they positioned her at her friend's head so she could see the head. She could actually see the surgery that was being performed on the heart, and she was able to put her hands on her friend's head and send Reiki for 6 hours. And she just said it was an amazing experience. And near the end of the surgery, when the surgeon was getting ready to use the those electrical things that you put on the heart area to make the heart start beating again, Tina asked the surgeon if she could talk to the heart to ask it to start beating again and send Reiki instead of having to shock it. And the doctor said yes and said that she had about 30 seconds to get that heart to start beating. So Tina just did that. She asked her friend's heart to start beating. And so, like, immediately, the heart came back online and began beating. And everyone else in the room was kind of amazed and surprised that they didn't have to use those pads to shock the heart into beating again. Now, for myself, I've never been in the surgery. And I've had a lot of people ask me if I would go into surgery with them and do Reiki. But Dawn doesn't do blood and guts, and I don't even watch TV shows where they're doing surgery, so I'm not going to go in. But what I do offer is Reiki's very good and effective if you do some Reiki sessions a couple of days ahead of time before surgery. I've also gone into the hospital and have done Reiki right before the person goes into surgery, and that's very good. And then while the person is having surgery, I've gone into the waiting room, or I've done it from my own home and sent distant Reiki to them while they're having surgery. And I send it to them and to everyone in the room that's involved in the surgery. And then many times I've been allowed to go into the recovery room, and the family, they just tell the doctor that I'm family. So while they're talking to the person, trying to get them to wake up from all that anesthesia, I'm there doing Reiki, helping move that anesthesia out and sending Reiki to the areas that could use it the most. Now, one of my friends that I was able to go into recovery, I was there all day. I did Reiki on her right before she went in. I did it during, and I did it right in the recovery room as she came out. And she had a double mastectomy, and she had surgery right there to rebuild her breasts from her own fat stores. And so I was able to do it, and she was supposed to stay in the hospital, they thought, for 7 days. But she was doing so well that she was released to go home 3 days later from intensive care. Now, another story I want to share is that my father-in-law, many, many years ago, he had an abdominal aneurysm removed, and he was expected to be in the hospital for 7 days or more. Now, my husband, also a Reiki master, he went to Pennsylvania to do Reiki on his father for several days before Reiki. He did Reiki for his dad right before he went into surgery, and then from the waiting room, he was able to send Reiki to his father. And then in recovery, he was able to go in there and do Reiki as well as several days afterwards. So to everyone's surprise, his father was released from intensive care to go home 3 days later. And the doctors were just shocked and amazed at his progress because he was a two-pack-a-day or more smoker, and just really amazed everyone. And I'll just say I've been very blessed to be able to go into many hospital rooms as soon as the client would get settled into their rooms. Usually I have one of their family members call me when they get settled, and I would go to the hospital to see them. And I had one client who husband called me, and I went over there, and I was able to have access to the whole body. And I did a full Reiki treatment, helping to clear out that anesthesia and just helping the body to begin its healing process. And as I was finishing, I could see my client in bed, and her eyes were becoming so clear, and she was becoming very awake. Now, she couldn't talk because she had surgery on her jaw, but as I looked at her, I could tell that she was ready to get up and get out of bed, and that's not what the doctors wanted. So I had to look at her in the eye and say, "Don't you even think about it. You need to stay in that bed, and you need to rest and let Reiki do its magic." So later on, when we had a chance to talk, when she could talk, she said, "It was like you were reading my mind." She said, "I was sitting there thinking, I want to get up and walk around. I'm feeling good." So that's how amazing the results with Reiki can be in accelerating that healing process. And I'm just so happy that the hospitals today are, you know, not only allowing but encouraging their patients to receive Reiki. So, Linda, yeah. You had mentioned the word creativity earlier in regard to Reiki. You know, what does creativity have to do with Reiki?
You know, I have been thinking about this, and I wanted to talk about it. But as you're sharing, I am remembering my husband, Ed, and by the way, aren't we blessed that both of our husbands are Reiki masters, and we can do this together in so many situations. But I remember this has been about 13 years ago, and Ed had a prostatectomy, or he was preparing for one. And in the days before, we all agreed that he should have Reiki. And I think we said 4 days in a row. We had been doing it before that, but we had groups that would come. And 4 days before his surgery, people were doing the Reiki. And then, of course, I was able to be with him until they rolled him into the operating room, and then also was there when they rolled him out. They let me be with him until the last minute. And he has done amazingly well. He did so great. He was in the hospital, like, I think at that time, it's been a while, so I believe it was 2 nights, and then he was home the third day, and has just been doing so well ever since then. And I know that Reiki made it so much easier to go through the surgery and to come out of it.
And I remember you sharing that the doctors said, because the doctors were concerned about nerve damage because of all the nerves down there.
Oh, yes, that's right.
They had said something about that when they were working that none of the nerves were in the way, because I remember when we were working on him in groups, we were putting the intention out that the nerves would be safe and unimpacted by the surgery. And the doctors did comment about how, like, the nerves totally cooperated and that they weren't concerned about it then after the surgery.
I had almost forgotten that. Isn't it funny? Because then when we start living this life of Reiki, so to speak, I forget all the things that are miracles when you really look at it, because they just become the norm, so to speak. I want more and more of that for it just to be normal in our lives. So thank you, Dawn, for helping me remember some of that. It just was coming up as you were talking. So yeah. I'd like to go back. You were asking about creativity, and that word just came up to me. How creative can I be with Reiki? And so in thinking about it, I'd like to share one that came up for me that I used Reiki in a way I'd never thought about. And that was one time. Now, this has been a number of years ago. I was with a group of people in West Virginia, and we were spending a weekend to discuss alternative energy sources and to generate ideas for building a self-sustaining community. There were about 15 of us, and we included scientists, researchers, spiritual seekers, and I can remember being so bored with the scientific and research presentations. It was just hard for me to stay awake, and I remember kind of jerking myself awake a few times. And then all of a sudden, in one of those, I received a jolt, and it really kind of pulled me up. And spirit just moved through me, and I had been very quiet in the meeting. I didn't feel like I had much to offer or anything. But I remember starting to speak about energy and the vast reservoirs of energy that we each carry. And I mentioned Reiki. I think, Dawn, you and I were teaching that weekend, or the weekend before, I believe. But I remember that, talking about that, it was a breakthrough moment for me. And as I spoke, I realized something was speaking through me. And the energy of the room shifted. The conversation became alive, you know, engaging and exciting and productive. We really were getting serious with some possibilities. So the next day, we gathered to walk several acres of property that we were considering. It was a potential site for this community. And we decided to find a place to meditate among the trees. And it was kind of on an incline of the mountain. And one of our members of the group had been taking pictures during our walk. And he wanted to get a picture of all of us before we meditated. So he was had us kind of, we found our spots, and he stood and he was taking a picture, and then he said some words, and yuck, my battery just died. And I went, oh. And for some reason, I asked him if I could hold the camera while we were meditating, and he kind of just kind of threw it at me. But as I put my hands on it, I thought of Reiki. I trusted in a power greater than myself. And then the next 10 or minutes or so while we were in meditation, I was just holding the camera. And toward the end of the meditation, a cool breeze just kind of blew over. It was an unmistakable presence that I felt. And I got the message, it is done. I thought, okay. So as we came out of the meditation, I didn't even look at the camera. I didn't want to. And I passed it back to its owner. And then when he looked at it, he just said, oh, my God, it's fully charged. So we all just went, I was sort of like, really, almost, why was I surprised? Why do I continue to be surprised? But it was certainly a demonstration of the power that's available to us. And we'd all witnessed it. But, Dawn, you know, I've told you there's the little bit to this story that I'll have to finish, I guess, that even though the camera was fully charged and pictures now could be taken, all of the previous pictures that he had been taking had been wiped out on the camera card. So I think you said the lesson for you, you wanted to say what it was?
Yes, the lesson for me is you take the battery out of the camera to empower it back up, to power the energy back up in the battery. That was a big lesson when you share. I'm like, okay, I'll never hold my camera again. To do that, I'll take the battery out, charge it, and then put it back into the camera. So it was very valuable for you sharing it so that we learn to do that.
And I know you've had some experiences where you've been able to charge batteries as well. So since
yeah.
that time, too.
Well, and yeah. One time we were traveling to New York before GPSs, and I had the map, and it was getting dark, and the little flashlight I had was getting very dim, so I took the battery out and did Reiki using the power symbol over it for about 15 minutes. And, you know, my husband's like kind of laughing, like, really, really? And we put that battery back in, and it not only lasted for the rest of the trip up to New York, we were going from Maryland, that battery lasted for about 2 years. So I think...
Love it.
What I learned is you have to have a battery that has some charge, you know, at least a little charge left in it. If it's completely dead, I haven't been able to make a difference. But if, you know, there's some little bit left, you can recharge the battery.
That's great. It's just so good. So I'd like to switch to another amazing use of Reiki, Dawn, if that's okay, and would ask you to share a couple of examples of how Reiki has really helped people recover from life-threatening situations. This is when we get serious with it, from battery to life-threatening situations. But
yeah, before when I talked about Reiki in the hospitals, it was just like one person or maybe two people working on someone that knew that they were going to have surgery. They knew ahead of time and could prepare by getting Reiki ahead of time, Reiki during, and Reiki after. But now I'm going to give some examples of serious situations of those who didn't know what was coming and that they were going to need Reiki. And also the power that group Reiki, where many people are sending Reiki to someone, can have a huge impact. Now, August of 2015, Laurel Gaia, who is highly known in the Reiki community, she has her Peace Place Center up in Sedona. She had an aneurysm burst in her brain. And I looked up the statistics on aneurysms online, and like 40% of the people die of aneurysms. And out of the 60% that survive, about 66 suffer from like some permanent neurological, you know, issues. So here she had this aneurysm burst, and they had to get her down to Phoenix. And so the prognosis, maybe it was kind of scary. And they had to do an initial surgery, and then there were some other surgeries as well. And after moving out of the hospital, she went into rehabilitation for a really long while. But what people who knew her did is they established a healing page on Facebook for Laurel. And Reiki practitioners from all over the world just began sending her Reiki night and day. And people that knew her, that were friends and close with her, visited her in the hospital and in the rehabilitation center and did Reiki on her. And so now she has, I think she went home in October, and she's walking, she's talking, she's getting around. So she went from like being almost comatose type to now doing all the things that we do. And recently I saw on Facebook that this past weekend she was in a Karuna class with her husband, because her husband's a Karuna master as well. And she was there for the whole weekend assisting in teaching this class together. So she came a really long ways. And she's continuing to heal, and people are continuing to send her Reiki. Then, at about the same time, William Rinn, who is the founder of the International Reiki Center, he was in Sedona in August leading one of his annual retreats, and he began having some severe symptoms related to the heart. And so he was sent down to Phoenix, and he was told that he was in congestive heart failure. And so after evaluating his situation, he underwent some procedures that were used to, like, electronically shock and reset his heartbeat so his heart would begin working better again. And then he was sent to rehabilitation. And on September 27th, you know, he was sent back home. He was released to go back home, and he began exercising and walking. And, you know, now he's back to teaching Reiki around the world. When this incident happened, one of his Reiki students put a healing page, Facebook announcement up, giving a status of his situation, and thousands of people around the world began sending him Reiki night and day. And so Reiki really does make a difference, and especially when you have a lot of people that are just continuously sending you Reiki. Now, before Facebook, I used to have a Reiki healing email list, and people would send me requests for people that wanted Reiki sent to them for different reasons. And one day I got a phone call from one of my Reiki masters telling us that her mother, who was also a Reiki master, had just gone into the emergency room, and she had a large aneurysm burst, and that the situation was dire. And could I send an email out to our list? And I did. I was home, and I went up there and sent an email out to the list. And that list went out to over 700 Reiki practitioners, and about 500 of those people were Reiki masters. And they began sending her mother Reiki at that time, as well as Reiki was continuously sent for her through her recovery. And this is many, many years later. Her mother fully recovered and is still kicking and enjoying her time on the planet. So I just see that group Reiki, whether it's hands-on, like we did for Ed before his surgery, Or if it's from a distance, group Reiki can really make a huge difference in these dire situations. So just love seeing, you know, the miraculous ways that, that Reiki really does work. Now, Linda, you would like to share about the way we set intentions and focus before our Reiki class or session.
Yes, I really would love to do that. I think this is a major piece that I just say it's paramount that, to do this. And it's the way that you and I have taught and that we use to set sacred space. So I've put it into a four-step process. We used to call it guidelines when we would teach. And the first part of the process is intention. So set the intention for a healing session or an attunement, whichever you're, whatever it is. You set the intention. And an example is I intend to be a loving, healing presence and conduit for the Reiki energy. And where, if, especially in whatever attunement it's going to be or whatever the session's about, but for that person. And then the second thing, so intention, the second is attention, attention. Place your attention and your focus on the receiver and on the process. So it's like when the mind wanders, just gently bring it back and be present to the receiver. So intention, attention. The third one is honor. And to honor the person before me requires that I release any judgment about that person. And it's also to acknowledge the honor of being a Reiki channel. So sometimes if there's something that triggers, like a smell or something that would kind of pull me off to make me judge something, just come right back and just be grateful and that it is an honor to be a channel of Reiki energy. So three is honor. So we've got intention, attention, honor, and the fourth one is unconditional love. So, and to me, this is the key. This is what true Reiki is, unconditional love. And in Japan, even the symbol for love looks very similar to one of the Reiki symbols. And so when I am in this space of unconditional love, I allow that energy to flow wherever it is needed. I don't try to direct or anything. I just allow. So allowing is a big piece to let that unconditional love, healing energy come through. So just intention, attention, honor, and unconditional love. And we do these every time before we do attunements or before we do a Reiki session and in our classes. So I did want to share that, Dawn, and I'm glad because it's a critical piece. And so what I'd like for you to go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'd say it's a critical piece, and a lot of our students ask, well, you know, how do you get your mind to be quiet while I'm doing a session? And I just send them back to set your intention and put your mind on the intention, and then just place your attention on that intention. And
right.
By centering in that place of honoring and unconditional love, it helps to quiet that busy mind. It gives that busy mind a focus while you're doing Reiki.
Absolutely. So, Dawn, would you we'll switch a little bit. Could you tell us about how you've used Reiki in the workplace? I know we're kind of getting close to the end of our show, so just a short little blip and we'll see.
Sure. You know, when I worked for the government, I would use Reiki and crystals all the time to keep my workspace energetically cleared from all the chaos that was always going on around it. And, you know, people would kind of magnetize to my area because it was this little cleared oasis. And I would also use Reiki to keep myself in an open place during meetings because in these meetings, sometimes people were protecting their turf or needing to support whatever their secret agendas, having those secret agendas met. So I would just keep sending Reiki for an outcome that would meet the goals and that were in alignment with the intention that was set for the meeting. So, and for difficult meetings, I would send Reiki to myself the night before to support me and the situation as it unfolded. And that way I could be in what would be termed as a difficult situation and just be able to be centered and have my mind clear so that I could respond from a place of centeredness, of peacefulness, instead of a place from anxiety. And I just felt these were really important ways that I was able to use Reiki to support myself in the workplace. So, Linda, I know you've used Reiki a lot in the workplace as well. So share with us how you've used it.
Well, I'll give one quick story, but I think we're going to have to do another show on Reiki maybe next year because so many things were coming to me of examples. But one quick story is how using the process of setting sacred space, like I mentioned earlier, I placed the Reiki symbols in my office with the intention that only positive energy could enter and only positive energy could go out. So I had to keep myself positive, and that's what was in my office. So it became quite a little research project because I would begin to notice and to see which people were attracted to coming into my office and being there and whatever, and to notice in particular one person who would not come beyond the door frame to talk with me. He would speak standing up outside of my door frame. So it kind of is funny, and there's a really good ending to that story that over time that person became very good friends with me, and that was not the issue anymore. But that is the power, again, of the intention of coming from that loving space and accepting. And one of the things that is so big for me right now, and that is to focus that on oneness, so that what other people do, how I respond to that, affects everything. Definitely affects me. So to close off or to, you know, whatever, does not help a situation. But to be more coming from that inviting, loving space, and the people that are not vibrating at that level, they just won't be there. I'm finding that they won't be in my life. And the ones that are, we can soar together. But the others aren't excluded. It's a choice. I don't know if I'm making sense, but that is
you
so...
You are, and that's really beautiful.
So works for me, and it is about oneness. But, you know, Dawn, it seems like Reiki practitioners are sometimes the last ones to use Reiki for their own selves, to benefit themselves. So tell us how you use Reiki to make a difference in your own life.
Yeah,
I think people
Linda,
will find
that
interesting.
Right. It just always seems like the Reiki practitioner is the last ones to use it on themselves. So I'll just say that within the last, I'll say, 3 or 4 years, I've been doing self-Reiki every night before I go to bed. I send Reiki to a few areas in my body. I choose which ones they are and just allow Reiki to flow before I fall asleep. I also use the Reiki symbol every day. I use the power symbol over my car before I get into it. And I use a lot of Karuna to calm myself and visitors. We seem to get a lot of visitors because before we lived in near Phoenix, and because of the winter, people that wanted to come out to visit. And now we've moved about 2 hours north in the Prescott area, and we'll get a lot of visitors this summer for people wanting to escape the heat. So I use like some of the Karuna symbols to help like keep things calm in the house and to keep me calm, because you know how sometimes visitors can get you all stirred up. And I use Karuna
Now,
symbol.
I'm wondering if I should visit again.
Oh, I want you to visit.
I'm kidding.
I
think it's really helpful.
Blast.
I'm just kidding. Yeah.
And, you know, I like to sleep in, and a lot of times visitors are on different time zones, and so I'm kind of a little stressed getting up a little bit earlier, and I just use Reiki to help balance me out. So it's all good. And then I use, like, Karuna symbols when I have a lot to get done, like projects and newsletters and taxes. And it really helps me to open up my third eye so that I can focus on what's in front of me and just keep going. And I use Karuna when I get stuck on those family issues that I have a hard time getting out of my head. You know how something just gets stuck in there and you can't get rid of it? So I use a lot of the Karuna, and it just helps calm and releases the stress, just like a balloon that's deflating. And then I can just feel myself going, I don't even know what I was upset about. So, and I'll just say, like you said, Reiki and creativity, I'm always exploring new ways that I can use Reiki on myself. So sometimes I'll meditate on Reiki, or I'll send Reiki to activate my God self. So just putting that out there for our listeners to go beyond where they have to explore ways that they can use Reiki on themselves. And also, you know, Linda and I do this show, and we're always open to hearing how our listeners are using the information that we're talking about. So we'd love to hear from you Reiki practitioners how Reiki has made a difference in your life and how you're using it on yourself as well. So you could email us at ReikiDawn@yahoo.com, and you know, we'll get another show going and we'll get a conversation going. So please email us. So now this brings us to announcements. So Linda, let us know what you have going on.
Well, I'm thinking right now of what's coming up in March. There are several things, but on March the 5th, I'm teaching my favorite class that I teach at the community college, which is on inner wisdom. And I would love it if anybody's interested in that. Information can be found on Anne Arundel Community College website, and it is in that brochure and so forth that you can check. Also, on March the 7th, I'm going to be hosting a Reiki share here in the Annapolis area. And we usually have a big turnout. We've had to postpone or actually cancel our January and February one because of Pat being away and some of the weather constraints. But we are excited that coming up March 7th, we're expecting a big turnout. So if anybody's interested, check out AnnapolisReiki.org and check and find out details. And then on March 13th, there is an ACT gathering, which is a community of transformation. And Stephanie Porter will be speaking on spontaneous healing, and we have musicians, and it's a lovely time. And both the Reiki Share and our ACT gatherings are held at Unity by the Bay Church Center that is in Annapolis. So, again, you can check out www.actannapolis.org and find this information. And so, Dawn, you know, I'm really wanting our listeners, especially for this show, to know what you have to offer. So would you share a little bit now with your announcements on that?
Sure. You know, since this whole show has been on Reiki, I just wanted to share with everyone the books, manuals, and CDs that I have put together. I'm also an author, so I have a Reiki 1 and 2 manual that I have written, and it allows I allow teachers to copy and share the manuals with their students without any copyright infringements. I also have books that help you create a practice. So I have a book entitled Creating a Successful Holistic Health Practice, and that's based on my many years of doing this. I have a book called Navigating the Continuing Education Approval Process, and this tells you how to become a CE provider. There's many careers such as massage therapists, acupuncturists, nurses that need CEs. Another book that I've written is Teaching Workshops.
Hey, I'm going to interrupt you for a moment, Dawn, because
Yes. That
is when you and I first started doing offering continuing education credits. We started having more people attending our Reiki classes and so forth. Now, it's a wonderful way to begin to grow your business. So I just wanted to mention that. Didn't want you to kind of
Like open doorways when you become a CE provider. The word gets around to that community that you can offer CEs to. And I've had the opportunity to present at a nurses' conference as well as a massage teachers' conference. So becoming a CE provider opens many doors. So thank you for mentioning that.
Yes. Yeah, I didn't want that. Wanted people to know about that. Go ahead.
And then another book
we had to learn the hard way. You and I
know we did. We
way.
Didn't have anyone showing us how to do it.
No. So I love that you've done this.
I wrote a book called Teaching Workshops Effectively, because a lot of people teaching Reiki don't have a lot of experience teaching at all. So there's a lot of great information in the book on how to organize, how to teach, and how to market your holistic health related classes. And then recently I wrote a book called Mastering Reiki. It's a manual which covers the advanced Reiki training and master level. So it really covers, if you don't call it advanced Reiki training, it covers the master's level 3A and 3B information. And I also produced a DVD that goes with the book that demonstrates how to do attunements and how to do some of the advanced energy processes or techniques are also on the DVD. And my most recent book is called Chakra Empowerment, 24 Days of Transformation. And there's a lot of great information in there about the chakras and how to get yourself unblocked. And then I've got a lot of meditation CDs that I've put together, and I'll just name a few of those. Meditations for Success. I recorded this CD to go with the book Creating a Successful Holistic Health Practice, but it doesn't have to. You don't have to buy the book in order to enjoy the CD. And I also put together a chakra healing meditation CD, and I have a CD called Tranquil Meditations to help reduce stress. So these are all on my website. If you go to www.energytransformations.org. That's the home page, and if you go to the left column, you'll see an area that says products, and you can go there. And if you buy more than one, there's a couple, deals there, specials, where if you buy, like, the manuals with some other products, you get a reduced price. And then on my website, you can sign up for my newsletter. And it's a free newsletter. It goes out quarterly. And if you do this, you'll receive a free meditation on the chakras. It's an MP3 that you can download and listen to. And I'll just say I have an upcoming Karuna 1 and 2 class in April. And that's on my website under workshops. And I have an advanced Reiki training class, or a level 3A class, coming up in May. So go to the website, check that out, and please tell others. I wrote these because my students asked, how did you create a successful practice? How did you become a CE provider? Can you tell me how to teach? These books came out of all the experience of like learning how to do this on my own. And I just want to share this with the community so that we can all be successful.
Well, Dawn, I tell you, I just feel like I need to take a breath. I don't know how you've done all of this and how you continue to do this. And here we are doing this radio show, which I love. And what I'd like to do is to begin to close today's show. And I'd like to recite some of the original Reiki ideals. So as I do, get yourself in just a space, hopefully where you can get quiet and still for a moment, and ask yourself, how might my life be different if I followed this recipe for life? How might my life be different if I followed this recipe for life? Here we go. Just for today, do not be angry. Do not worry, and be filled with gratitude. Devote yourself to your work and be kind to people. Every morning and evening, join your hands in prayer. Thank you for joining us today. Namaste.
Namaste.